This morning, we're going to go to the book of Philippians. I'm just going to share a very quick verse with you this morning. And my subject today is on joy. Could anybody use more joy in your life? Amen. A few of us could. I guess the rest of us are just in great shape with joy. Amen. I think we can all, 100% of us could probably use more joy in our lives. And so this morning I'm going to talk on joy, but I'm also going to overlap it with expectation, because we need to have expectation even through our trials and even through our circumstances that we walk through in life. Let's go to this morning to the book of Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 4. I've taught for the last four Wednesday evenings on the nights that have been my nights. I've been teaching from the book of Philippians, and we've been in that book about 4 weeks and just talking about having joy through the tribulation and through the trial. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, which is probably the key verse of the book of Philippians, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Can we all say that together? Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And so my subject this morning is on joy. And I want to talk to you for just a little while this morning about the book of Philippians and tie it in with some expectations, because Philippians is called the letter of joy because the concept is found so much throughout the book of Philippians. Philippians was a letter that was written by the Apostle Paul to the local church in the city of Philippi. Paul writes this letter from a prison in Rome, where he had been put under arrest for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I want us to understand first and foremost that Paul was put into jail for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and yet he writes this letter to the Philippian church, and the whole theme of the book is that of joy. That's pretty amazing within itself, that Paul could be put into a prison cell for preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, and he's put in that jail for that very reason, and yet Paul writes this book to the Philippian church, and the entire content of the writing is that of joy. 5 times in the book of Philippians, Paul uses the word joy, and 11 times he uses the word rejoice. So in four chapters in the book of Philippians, 16 times Paul speaks of joy and rejoicing. Many agree that the key verse for the book of Philippians is the one that we have read in 4 verse 4, which is our text this morning. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now, oftentimes when we come into relationship with Jesus Christ, we think that it's supposed to be like Candyland thereafter. It's supposed to be like a bed of roses, and everything is just supposed to be smooth sailing throughout the course of your life. I can assure you that those that have lived for many years for the Lord can testify this morning that everything in their life since they came to Jesus hasn't just been smooth sailing. It hasn't been Candyland, and it hasn't always been a bed of roses. But the Bible declares that those who live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer some persecution. All throughout the Bible, we find the writers in different experiences and varied emotions in life. One moment we see those who are standing on the bedrock of hope, and the very next moment we find them wallowing in the quicksand of horror. One minute we find men and women of God shouting, and the next minute we'll see them shaking in fear and trembling. One minute faith will thrill, and the next moment fear will threaten their very lives. One minute they will be full of confidence, and one moment they will be put to the next challenge and face collapse in their lives. We are going to see trials. We are going to have persecutions. We are going to have testings. We are going to have problems in life. And we may suffer for the very name of Jesus. All these things that come our way will help us grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. God's greatest men and God's greatest women are those who have a longing for Jesus Christ to consume their very life. They are propelled onward and upward to the heights that the average eyes do not have the ability to see. What the average did see through lethargic spiritual eyes, they never had any hope of reaching a place in God. I want to know this morning that I never want to be in the category of just marking my time in my life with Jesus Christ. But I want to always be moving forward and always pushing forward and excelling in my relationship with the Lord. Can you give Him praise today? And so I want to ask you this morning, just take a real quick survey. How many of you have ever been discouraged in your life? I think every hand would go up this morning. We have all faced discouragement in our lives at some point. So, with all of the hands that I have seen lifted, I believe that I am preaching this morning to the right group of people. Everyone wants to be full of joy, and inevitably life has its downs, and we go through stuff. That's what life is. We go through stuff. I heard it once said, you're either coming out of a problem, you're in a problem, or you're headed toward a problem. Now, I know that doesn't sound very positive, but it's just where we are in life. Life can be like a roller coaster ride. It can have its highs and it can have its lows. One day we can be up, and the next day we can be down. All it takes is one report, a diagnosis that you didn't want to hear, or something has happened to your child, or you've lost a job. All it takes is one bad report, and we can go from the mountaintop, and all of a sudden we can find ourselves in the valley. But I came this morning to assure somebody that you are God's elect, that you are God's special forces, that you are God's anointed, that you are men and women that are ordained of God, and you love God, and you live for God, and you have believed the things of God, and you have faith in the Almighty God. And so I don't want you to believe for a moment that God has left you and that God is far from you. And don't you believe for a moment that God does not hear you and God does not hear your cry and God does not hear your prayer. Don't believe for a moment that God is not working in your life. Just because you are in the valley does not mean that God has given up on you. But it's when you are walking through the valley that you can be assured that God is taking you through that valley. And as you walk through that valley, you are going to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. There is yet another dimension of faith that you and I as individuals, collectively as a church, we can move into. And that is the dimension of expectation, the dimension of believing, the dimension of assuming, the dimension of knowing that God is able, the dimension of knowing that no matter the circumstance, no matter the trial, no matter the test, no matter the sickness, no matter what the problem might be in my life, I am serving a God that is bigger than the trouble, that is bigger than the circumstance, and is bigger than the situation that I am walking through. In this dimension of expectation, even through the problem, even through the trouble, we anticipate the very handiwork of God. No matter what we're up against in the dimension of expectation, we are convinced that God is in charge. In the dimension of expectation, we know that no matter what happens in my life, God is going to have the final say because God is in control. In the dimension of expectation, there is no question in our mind that the battle belongs to God. In the dimension of the expectation, we know that God's will is in effect. We may not know how, we may not know where, we may not know when, we may not know who He is going to use, we may not know when He's going to come through, but we do know this, that we serve an on-time God because God is always on time. And I have joy this morning in knowing that God is in control. God is in control. You see, expectation goes beyond hoping for a good outcome. Expectation is bigger than desire. Expectation is more than wishful thinking. Expectation is more than just pleading. It's more than want. It's more than longing. Expectation is anticipation. Expectation is assuming. It is belief. It is certainty. It is confidence. It is knowing. And it is looking forward to what God is going to do, and it is trusting Him through my situation. Can I tell you that when we've done all that we can do, when we've made every effort in our human ability, there is a dimension in God that we've got to move into that is the miraculous, that is the supernatural, because something happens when a believer of God moves into a new level of expectation. Because amid your struggles and amid all of the things that you go through in your life, if you can hold on to your faith in God and don't give up, don't allow the devil to push you down and to keep you down, you just keep bouncing back up and declaring that I expect that God is going to move in my situation. God is going to do something great for me. Expectation isn't dependent upon me. Expectation in God is not dependent upon how I feel. Expectation is knowing that God can do anything and that God is willing and God is ready to work on my behalf. I'm not hoping that it's going to happen. I don't have my fingers crossed that it's maybe going to happen if I'm lucky that it's going to happen. I haven't made any wishes upon a star, but I have come to tell somebody this morning, you need to get some expectation in your life and expect God to move and expect the harvest in your life and expect the harvest in the church. You can expect to be restored in the name of Jesus. You need to expect miracles. You need to expect healings in your life. Expect that God will do what He said that He will do. Church, it is time to step beyond ordinary faith and move into the dimension of expectation. It's time to stop wishing. It's time to stop hoping. It's time to start thinking that maybe God will move. It's time to start realizing and expecting that God is going to move. Because expectation is not a feeling, it is not a fleeting emotion, it is an unwavering confidence in God's ability to fulfill the very promises that He said that He would do. And when the church begins to move in the dimension of expectation, miracles become the normal. Salvations become the frequent. Chains began to be broken off of the lives of people, and the supernatural will become the standard. God is not looking for passive believers, but He is looking for those who will stand on the promises and expect Him to fulfill the word that He has given us. I can have joy in knowing that God is in control. Let us look at Matthew chapter 5, in verses 11 and verses 12. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Wow, be happy about when people are mocking me and lying about me and criticizing me. He says, be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. You see, in one way or another, all Christians will face some persecution of various kinds. Sometimes it's facing ridicule. Sometimes it's facing insult. Sometimes it's in some places of much more serious trials that must be overcome. But the previous verse teaches that the expectation of heaven is enough to make me rejoice through every trial that I go through in life. But there is also the realization that we are sharing in a life that was known to the prophets. And so just as the prophets suffer, it is always a joy to discover that we are in good company. And it is not just the company of the prophets that we share, but by suffering for Christ, we share the suffering of Christ Himself. And we are encouraged to take great joy in this. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4. And in verse 13, it says, instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in His suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing His glory when it is revealed in all to all the world. In Acts chapter 5 and in verse 41, it says, the apostles left the high council rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. James chapter 1 and verse 2 and 3, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. You know something? We all have bad days. We all get discouraged. Though it's hard to obtain, perseverance and steadfastness are essential to living a life that is pleasing to God when we face many trials. My subject today is joy. Now, I'm not so naive to think this morning that we are always on top of the world, that we are always on top of the mountain. For there are occasions that we will travel throughout life when we're in the valley. But neither am I so spiritually ignorant that I am not aware that God has provided for those who are in the valley in their experiences. No matter how hard your life becomes, we have never-ending joy in the fact that we shall receive the reward of heaven at the end of our lives, but whom Jesus also we access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Can you give God a hand clap this morning? In this life, we will have tribulation. In this life, we will have trouble. In this life, we will have difficulty. In this life, we will have trials. We will have sickness. We will have hard times. The storms will arise. The winds will blow. The waves will crash against your life. There will be times that are hard. There will be times that are difficult. There will be times of discouragement. Things won't always go as planned. There will be times of sorrow. There will be times of weeping. There might be times of financial difficulties. There might be dark days. There might be uncertain days. But the thing that God has provided for us in this life is that we can have joy. In Psalms chapter 30 in verse 5, it says, "For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning." Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 61 in verse 3, it says this, "To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of life, the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that they may be glorified." You see, he's given us joy for mourning. He's given us the spirit of joy for the spirit of heaviness. There's an old song that we used to sing that said, "This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away." I'm going to tell you this morning, you have the joy of the Lord in your life, and the world can't take it away. When living for God becomes a joy, when we will have revival. When living for God becomes a joy, we will have evangelism. When living for God becomes a joy, we will see the children come home. When living for God becomes a joy, an awesome power of God will be manifest in the house of the Lord. When living for God becomes a joy, it's when signs and wonders and miracles and healings will be seen. You ask, what is joy? Webster says this, "It is the emotion evoked by well-being, success or good fortune, or by prospect of possessing what one desires. Joy is a strong feeling of happiness, a manifestation of happiness through an outward rejoicing or excitement." You know something? That definition might fit those who don't know Jesus, but it's not true to those who know the Lord. Because to the Christian, to somebody who knows Jesus, something different applies as it relates to joy. This outward rejoicing comes from an inward satisfaction that I know Jesus Christ. Yes, I know things are going on in my life. Yes, I know there are problems in my life. Yes, I know there's discouragement in my life. Yes, I know that the enemy has attack against my health. Yes, I know that the enemy has an attack against my finances. But I still choose the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, "Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those whom nothing is prepared. For this is the day holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow," he says, "for the joy of the Lord is your strength." You don't find strength in any other place until you find it into the joy of the Lord. You ask, where do I find the joy of the Lord? You find the joy of the Lord in His presence. In 1 Peter chapter 1 in verses 5 through 8, it says, "And through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see." And in verse number 6, "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials will make you partners with Christ in his suffering so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. One more verse, Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Because your names are written in heaven. You see, no matter how hard your life may become, we can have never-ending joy in the fact that we will receive the reward of heaven at the end of our lives. Somebody needs to say to themselves this morning, I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm so glad, and I'm rejoicing in the Lord. What brings joy? I'll tell you what brings joy. Salvation brings joy. Salvation brings joy. Somebody needs to say today, I've got troubles in my life, but I've got joy. I've got problems in my life, but I've got joy. I've got sickness in my body, but I've still got joy. I've got trials going on in my life, but I've still got joy. I've got bills to pay that I don't know where the money is coming from, but I still choose joy in my life. I've got difficulties, but I've still got joy. You see, when we have salvation, we are walking in the truth of God's word, and we are blessed by God. We have joy, not because we have a new car, not because we have a big bank account, not because we have a new house, not because we have a new job or a career, but we have joy because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's why we have joy. And so the question becomes, what brings joy? I'll tell you what brings joy. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank you, God, for saving me. You saved me from a burning hell. That's why I have joy. You delivered me from a fiery furnace. That's why I've got joy. You removed me from a lion's den. That's why I got joy. You parted the Red See, that's why I've got joy. You brought down the walls of Jericho right in front of me. I've got joy. You delivered me from a prison cell. I've got joy. I've got joy today. I've got joy in the trouble. I've got joy in the sickness. I've got joy in the pain. I've got joy in the financial difficulty. I've got joy even though my job is not going like it should go. In the darkest hour of my life, I've got joy. Can you give him praise in this house this morning? You see, you don't know like I know what God has done for me. You don't know like I know what God has done for me. In Isaiah 12 and verse 2, it says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Psalms 51 verse 12 says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation and uphold with me a free spirit. I'm going to tell you this morning, don't go witness to somebody with a frown on your face. Don't invite someone to church with a sourpuss look on your face. Get some joy in your life. Get some joy in your life. If you can't get excited about it, the fact that you know Him and the fact that you have salvation should give you joy in your life, because there is joy in salvation. When you have joy, you go from doubt to trust. You go from complaining to confidence. You go from trusting in man to trusting in God. You go from the valley to the mountain. You go from a dead church to a revival church, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Be excited about it. Be excited that you know Him. Be excited for what God has done for you. Be excited about your salvation. Be excited that you've been redeemed. Be excited that your sins have been washed away. Be excited that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all He has done for me, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and how He set me free, I'm going to shout. I'm going to dance. I'm going to sing. I'm going to clap. I'm going to shout for Jesus all night, all day long. Give me more of Jesus, not less of Jesus. Give me Jesus in the morning. Give me Jesus in the noontime. Give me Jesus in the evening. Give me Jesus in the night. You want to have revival? You want to have souls saved? You want to see members come to the Lord Jesus Christ? We get some joy, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my peace. The joy of the Lord is my comfort. The joy of the Lord is my protector. Amen. We're going to bring this to a close this morning. If our musicians could come. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and He sat down right at the throne of God. NLT says it this way: we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame, is now seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Did you know that Jesus Christ had to endure the cross with joy? Even Jesus, who created the heavens and created the earth and suffered for a while, we count it all joy for suffering because He is seated at the right hand of God. Of course, we know that God doesn't really have a right hand. This is an idiom meaning the hand of power. Jesus Christ is exalted above the heaven, and He's exalted above the earth. There is joy that comes in the suffering. If we've never suffered, we would never be perfected, we would never be established, we would never be strengthened, and we would never be settled. God wants to settle it this morning by establishing His word in your life. Can we stand in this building? God wants us to be established in our walk with Him. God wants us to be established in our good words and also in our good works. God wants our conversation to be where it should be. God wants us to clean up our act. He wants us to clean up our life. He wants us to clean up our tongue. I count it joy to suffer for God. I count it joy to suffer for His word. I count it joy to suffer for His name, the name that is above every name. I count it joy to suffer for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I count it joy to suffer for Jesus. And so today, this morning, you've got to make up your mind to step into the dimension of expectation. You've got to believe for the impossible, speak with faith, and pray with confidence. Worship like your miracle is already here. Because in this dimension, there is no room for doubt, only the certainty of our God is faithful, and He will do what He said that He would do. Church, the time of waiting is over. Expect God to move, because when we expect Him to move, He will show up. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we love You in this place this morning. We thank You, God, that You suffered for us. And God, it's the least that we can do when we are persecuted to suffer for Your sake. God, we love You and honor You and thank You this morning, for You really are the King of Kings and the Lord of all lords. God, of all the gods of this world, You are the only true living God. For every other god has been put into a grave, but God, when You were put into that grave, 3 days later, You rose and You're still alive today in this earth. And we thank You for it today. Amen.